Coins Plus has been in business since the, like I said, I went into business personally in 96, and the Coins Plus operation, physical, started in 98. I was a banker. I had worked my way to regional manager for Bank of America, and I think I was a little bit unique from the standpoint that I cared. I remember one time I had an operations manager, and we were in a meeting of regionals, and I had a, you know, I have a master's background in applied math and stats, and I was laying out before them the fact that the yields on a certain program didn't work out, and the operations manager says to me, "Why do you even care?" I go, "What do you mean?" He said, "It's not your bottom line, it's the bank's." I'm like, "Aren't we on a team?" You know? And after that, I think he figured out he would run things by me. He would, because basically I was in a division, Bank of America Housing Services, which is kind of deceptive because we handled also the auto dealerships and everything else, manufactured housing, motorcycles, and whatever. But we were often referred to as the redheaded stepchild because we were an offshoot from Security Pacific that had gone through the CFirst buyout and then into Bank of America. So my boss's boss was the president of Bank of America Corporation, who I got to know. So in a nutshell there, all I'm saying is I've tried to keep my head up and pay attention financially. And I know a lot of people have a lot of questions, and there's a lot of misnomers out there about, you know, what to do, when, where, and how. If you're, you know, a lot of people listen to like Dave Ramsey, and he's always pushed the importance of being debt-free. I think I have to agree with him for the most part. The only area that I struggle with is when rates got so low. I mean, folks, when people, I've talked to people that have mortgages at 2 7/8 interest. That's just absurd. That's like free money. Because real inflation, there's real inflation and there's reported inflation. And you have to understand, this is where things are really concerning me right now. Now, I'm a believer, and, you know, if you study the Bible and money, it's like part of it is, you know, don't worry about your money. Don't worry about what to eat or wear. God will take care of you. That's true. Those are needs, okay? Our life on this earth is about needs, wants, and desires. God did not put us here specifically to live at the bare minimum, because if you want the bare minimum, you can technically almost be homeless. And you got your needs met. If you got some food, you got some shelter, but that's not the way God wants us to live life. I assure you, folks, I guarantee it. God never intended for us. I mean, if you, all you have to do, people get kind of sidetracked with money. It's an excuse to not be a good steward with it, I think, sometimes. And if you actually think about it, you know, look at what God's made, how he's made it, how amazing it is. Is he a, you know, a bottom standard type of a God? Not the God that I know. The God that I know has made an absolute mystical, magical plethora of spectacular magnificence that we experience. I mean, as spring has sprung, as I drive and I look, I just see life exploding all around us. Beautiful, brilliant, bright, you know, greens and yellows and pinks and oranges. And then, you know, you look at what we produce, our homes, our cars, they got to go faster. They got to be better. They got to stop quicker. They got to handle better. We got to have skid control. This is not vanity. This is, as Lexus calls it, the relentless pursuit of perfection. This really should define each and every one of our lives. And I've had conversations with people where they're like, "Well, you know, the love of money." Everyone's heard this. Everyone's like, you know, it's not money that's the root of all evil, but it's the love of money. The love of money is actually the lust of money, as it was as represented biblically. It's the lust of money. It's the greedy, gross desire. And believe me, being in the money world for decades, I've seen it. It's gross. There's what I call gold fever, they used to call it. Guys would get up to these mines, kill each other. It was terrible. They get angry. They're miserable. I just had a theft issue with a guy who was a Mormon, Jack Mormon, you know, and he just, it's ugly. It's just an ugly perspective. And then the justification we give ourselves as human beings is really pathetic. So many people, we deal in large amounts of money, and so many people, oh no, I believe in karma. I believe what goes around comes around. I'm honest. I'm fair. And then I'll experience theft, you know? Greed is an ugly thing. And I think that's where God talks about true righteousness. Righteousness is the desire to do right, to be right-minded towards God. And then if you make a mistake, to go back and fix it. Righteousness is also about a lack of pomposity, and we can get pretty pompous. I mean, I think as human beings, sometimes we don't fully understand or comprehend what other people are going through or whatever. But we need to be content, you know. It says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or wear or, you know, whatever. Be content, you know. Paul goes on and talks about how content he was. Paul basically said he's been rich and he's been poor. He's been on one end of the spectrum and the other. And he really has. There's writings. When I went to Israel, at least back in 2006 or something, or maybe 8, our tour guide, who's a PhD, his name's Ronnie Simon, a PhD in Israeli history, Jewish, but knows the New Testament better than any other Christian I know, actually brings it to life. I know one other Christian, like super high ranking, I guess you'd call it, religious professional, pastor, bishop, whatever, who knows the Bible really well, but sometimes it becomes a little bit flippant. It just becomes, it's too simplified. Sometimes people are like, oh yeah, it says this, blah, 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 blah. You know what the number one problem is? Reading the Bible in English. It's good to know the Word of God because it is the Word of God and it speaks to your spirit, but it wasn't written in English. It was written in Greek and Hebrew, and we need to know the Word of God in Greek and Hebrew. You don't have to know how to read Greek and Hebrew. I've discussed the fact that you can go on, like I use Blue Letter Bible, and there's things I'd definitely change about it if I could. I like it. I think it's effective. Once you learn how to click on words, it's super insightful. I just get stoked up seeing the depth of the words. And sometimes, you know, they do a good job and sometimes they don't. There's like Strong's Concordance in there and all that. And it, you know, there's times you're like, wow, that's not very good. But there's countless times that you're like, that makes so much sense. The Word of God makes so much sense. That's why I said the love of money isn't agape. I can't remember what the word is. I'll get it here in a bit. But it's the lust. It's the insatiable desire to have it, you know. And that's not, we're not supposed to be that way. Obviously, why? Idolatry, right? I mean, God forbids us from idolatry. Because we're putting a God before him. You know, Jesus said a lot of things. But he said the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then to love your neighbor as yourself. But the thing is we have to love the Lord our God. And I'm not sitting here telling you I'm perfect at this at all. I'm super, like, human. Like, I'm broken. I came to Christ at 18 in college. It was a miracle. I just went because I thought I was missing out. I'd kind of been bounced around and not really led much, and I certainly wasn't guided. And all of a sudden, everyone started doing this and that. I never even took an SAT. Everyone has done that. I never did. I mean, I've taken IQ tests and stuff like that, and I took the ASVAB. I was looking at being a fighter pilot in the military, and I do all that stuff very well, but I went to college. Everyone else was on a track. I was kind of winging it because I didn't want to be left out. Obviously, it was God's will. I ended up there, found out my, quote, quasi-friends. They really weren't friends. They were party buddies. And then in college, I just was hurting pretty bad, and I ended up, through a series of events, well, I came to Christ. I was in the dorms one night, and I was done, ready to end it all because I had had, you know, a lot of issues growing up and just stuff and no real support system around me. And I had knelt on a bed in my dorm room, obviously no one else there, and said, "Lord, if you're even real, show me." It was either the next night or the following, a guy knocks on the door, knock, 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 and he says, "You got a few minutes?" "Sure." I was getting ready to go out and do something again. And then he shares the gospel with me, which is ultimately the bridge illustration, and praise the Lord, I came to know who Christ was, but I was there. And then I thought it was such a neat deal, I wanted to go with him, not right away, like in a week or two, and around the dorms and go knocking door to door. I thought, man, that came so easy to me, and I needed to know the information so bad, I can go share it with everyone else, and I can turn the whole world over to Christ. And, man, I was like, what's wrong with you? But especially in college. I mean, I got some exposure, too, like where people would be like, no, I know that stuff's right. But right now, I just don't want to give up my party lifestyle. Or I'll do it later. Or, you know, they didn't necessarily refute the fact. It's more about feeding the flesh, which takes us all the way back to the love of money, right? The love of money. It's the love of life. The love of the wrong kind of love of life. The lust for life. And what are the three, you know, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life? Those are the three, you know, there's plenty of sins out there. But, you know, the actual desire for physical things, which is kind of, we have to have them, right? So, to roll that back to money, we need to cope with this stuff. God didn't put us here to be intellectually inept. We need to be intelligent. We're stewards. And the Bible says, if you're faithful with little, you'll be given much. If you're blowing all your money like a fool, which I've done and you've done, and maybe you haven't, maybe you need to just to see how it feels. But when you blow your money like foolishly, it's stupid. Why would God honor and bless that? And I'll admit, God's been good to me over the years. I have, and I like good things. I like good financial decisions. I really believe in hard assets, and that's how I ended up here. I was in banking. I worked my way up to regional manager. I spent a couple years on a hiatus in the 90s as a business manager for a large auto dealership because I thought I like money or economics, finance, banking, whatever. There was a series of events that led up to it. And I love cars. I thought, well, what a better way to put them together. Well, the car business and cars is not exactly the same. It's still business, and it had a lot of undertones that I didn't like. It was pretty brutal, and it was pretty tough. And then I went back into banking, worked my way up from, you know, account exec to, I can't even remember, regional to divisional or district, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's been a long time because I started this business in the 90s, but I was really super fortunate, and I but I always wanted to be a good steward. Then I was Series 6, 7, and 24 licensed because I was managing people who also were in the brokerage business, the stocks, bonds, equities, you know, even some commodities contracts. And it was, God was preparing everything in my life. There's more to it. But he just built me up for this. Now, this doesn't seem like much, but you know, if you go to your, I hate the term coin shop. There's these coin shop. We're a coin shop. And that's about it. Coin shops are historically retired men hobbies. They're just a thing they do for fun. So I got into this. I was a banker. I'd saved up money. I loved coins. And I thought, you know, I wanted to take a hiatus and enjoy them. And then our business grew like a weed because I brought in the thin-to-win philosophy and people started to like us. We also have been kicked around and beat up a lot. And now we have one of the nicest. I seriously think I would say we probably have the nicest facility in the nation. It's built from the ground up. I built it, designed the majority of it. The exterior, there's some facets I wouldn't have even thought of, like the big clock tower on top of it. By the way, we've had people try to come to the clock tower in Spokane. Here's the deal. We are the clock tower building on Division. There is a clock tower in down in Riverfront Park. It's massive. That's not us. That's the city clock tower. We're a couple miles up Division on the west side of the road. 12,000 square foot building, 80 foot high brick clock tower, solid brick building, beautiful, and even more beautiful when you're inside. But a few people have actually wandered down. I mean, you can't even go to the clock tower down in Riverfront Park without parking your car, walking a long ways in a park to get to it. And we've had people call that are like carrying coin collections and stuff to sell that have walked through the whole park. I mean, why would I ever have a business in the middle of a public park? Probably not your best financial choice for people, right? You would agree. So we're located on Division, 3201 North Division Street. We're inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza, which I own. It's a 12,000 square foot facility. I have a couple leasers. I have empty space. If I had more time, I'd rearrange. I'm getting older and I'm just getting tired. And we really need to expand and do more online presence. We do a substantial amount of volume, but we're not online and we really don't advertise. And God's been really good to us, and I appreciate all that. And to put it lightly, but we're here to serve your needs. The thing we offer is honesty, integrity, and professionalism. That's our, you know, our motto type thing. We'll treat you square, treat you right, be honest with you, communicate well, educate you, you know, within reason. I mean, I can't get you a PhD or nothing like that, but no, we'll educate you on our industry and our business if you talk to us. We'll give you good information. We hopefully, supposedly know what we're doing. I mean, that's being kind of facetious, but it is true. So we take it very personal. We want to be the best. We want to be the best. We want to be, you know, the Costco of rare coins and precious metals with the Nordstrom's service. And that's our goal. Even kind of Tiffany's a service in a way. We are unique, and it's important to us. I feel that that is how you represent yourself as a believer and also how you serve Christ. And that really is who we are. You don't have to worry. I mean, people are, you know, it's concerning. When you get into your financial situation, people get very uncomfortable sometimes and very vulnerable. Money has a connection to our spirit like nothing else. And you might say, oh, you know, here we go again with the money, money, money. But folks, God started in Genesis chapter 2. He laid out what gold was, where to get it, and gave it his highest biblical early archaic Hebrew complement of taub. And the greatest, the best financial investment, the best, it's health, wealth, prosperity. He laid it out. It's a tangible track record of our heart condition. The way God set things up under, you know, 3.5 dimensions, length, width, height, and half a time, somehow under that system, we need to have a system of exchange. We need to have a modem of commodity, a fungible asset that we can transfer between one another in order to technically interact and transfer our wealth, okay? So it makes sense to me. It is such a reflection of who you are. People get, there's so many different personalities. We deal with the states. People, you know, they'll think if they're spending money that you need to treat them different, or they'll be worried and concerned that something's going to happen. You know, we all have all these feelings. Money brings it out. God's a smart God, and if you think about it, you know, money, I think, probably plays a role in our ultimate judgment. I mean, when God looks at our actions, obviously there's other aspects of our life that play a role. But I think your financial acumen, your financial commitment, you know, Jesus said he and God, that they give you the money. Deuteronomy, I think it's 18, says God gave you the ability to earn income. Malachi 3 says, how have you robbed me in your tithes and offerings? We need to take our first fruits back to God. It's hard sometimes. I talk to people that aren't going to church, but they know the Lord and love him, and they listen to like ACN a lot and stuff. Find a charity or find something that gives and give it to God. But be smart, okay? And when you're investing, please don't get sucked into financial or insurance annuities, which is whole life, half life, universal life, you know, progressive this and that. Just if it's coming from an insurance salesman, I would be concerned. The commission and fees are very extreme, and the ability to get your money back is a long, dirty mess. It really is. There's surrender charges. I've talked about it. I don't go into it enough, but a lot of people just avoid annuities. Today, maybe since I'm on that, let's talk about 401ks real briefly. A lot of people have 401ks, and I've discussed this before. What is a 401k and an IRA? IRA's Independent Retirement Account. 401k is the section code for employer contribution-based investments that are a deferred or tax-deferred investment. So what a 401k is in simplicity is, as an employee, you have the ability to put money into a fund, which then can be further distributed into a variety of investment vehicles, okay? But it's deferred taxation. If you ever hear tax deferred, please remember tax procrastinated. It's all come and due. With the IRS, everything, you know, you get tax write-offs here, tax write-offs there. If you have a building, like I do, and you can depreciate the building as a business use, here's the problem. As you depreciate that building, you get each year you have less and less left to depreciate. But ultimately, when you either die or choose to sell that later, you're going to pay a capital gains tax. It's called recaptured gains. You wrote it off. It's all coming back. It doesn't matter if you have a boat, car, plane that you're writing off. It's all a wash. There's nothing that I know of in our tax laws that is truly tax avoidant if you're following the code of the law. I think our economy is messed up. I think our country economically is a toaster. I think we're so toasted. We are so foolish. The levels of taxes, I can't remember if it was Thomas Paine or somebody who said, they've done all the studies, and whenever a country hits like 43 to 47% tax rate, the people rebel. Here, we've blown well past that. You know that 75% of your income that you spend goes to taxes. There's taxes on everything you buy. You like Biden today. Oh, you know, hey, we're going to have a gas tax holiday up to 18 cents. And then what's he doing? Blaming the mom and pop gas stations. Well, don't you take this money and put it in your pocket. It's like, I, Joe Biden, am a good man, and I care. And he calls it the Putin tax hike. I mean, Putin? Inflation was occurring long before this recent debacle. And ever since Biden got in there, Trump predicted all of this stuff. Trump's a very brilliant businessman. He gave it his best. I would bet you, in my opinion, intellectually, no man who served as president has ever tried as hard as Donald Trump. And he was trashed, run down, deceived, you know, defamed, fake impeachment hearings, every dirty, rotten, filthy trick imaginable to mankind. Now it's coming out that Hillary Clinton has been behind it all, and she knew it, and it goes on, and no one is ever going to pay a price. This is the thing I started to learn the minute I saw Bill Clinton pulling the Monica Lewinsky thing, because I was in banking back then. That was 90, whatever it was, 3-2. And I'm like, oh, he's toast. He's done. And then he won't step down. I'm like, wow, you know. And then the spin game begins. The Clintons came from Arkansas, and they were corrupt. The corruption that goes around them it's unfathomable. They're full-throttle sociopaths. They've done everything crazy, and I know it's like, oh, it's easy to criticize a person from afar because you don't know them. But, I mean, the evidence is insurmountable. It's overwhelming that they've done had so many corrupt activities. It's just insurmountable. It's irrefutable. And they, I think, started a process that has continued since. There's dynasty after dynasty there, and that's why they didn't want Trump. The Clinton dynasty, Hillary is still pulling all kinds of strings. Of course, even the Bushes, that was a dynasty. There's a whole history on that family that I'm not overly impressed with. Obama, you know, now there's at least a cult that goes around him. He said he's going to fundamentally transform America. Look at the way America was when he got in, and look at the way it is now. He started a process that called the Cloward and Piven strategy, which they have this insatiable urge, I don't understand, to destroy this country. They want this Marxist utopia. They have this idea of, like, just free handouts and free coexistence. And the bottom line is you can't do it. It's economically imbalanced. It's unsound. Money or wealth comes from work energy. It's the storage of work energy. There's no other way around it. That's what it is. You can't just turn on the printing presses and start pumping out money just because you have pieces of paper that people have faith in. There's technically no work energy in that, and therefore it's hyperinflation. When you use people's work energy in order to create a monetary asset, you can avoid inflation, and especially hyperinflation. I mean, we've got the Dow down, you know, what is it, from the peak, from 40 to 30,000 roughly. You've got Bitcoin and cryptos have dropped about 2/3. I know there's some of you out there that probably got caught up in that. From the peak, metals like gold's probably down, you know, I don't know, 6-5%. So it's not near as bad. And then if you look at the trend, the metals are just solid. The point is, I was talking to a friend last night. He was looking at dropping $100,000, and we were talking about it. And he was asking all the right questions, but the thought process was wrong. He was like, well, how can I be guaranteed it's going to go up? And how can I guarantee it won't go down? It's like, no, that's not the point. It's an asset. It's untitled real estate, folks. It's liquid hard assets. And that's what he said. He goes, well, what if I need to sell it? What if I need the money? I'm trying to explain to him. He's a CEO of a large corporation, very successful. And I said, it is the single most fungible and liquid asset on earth. What do you mean by that? I said, you walk in, boom, cash, done. What if I'm in another state? Well, are you going to have your gold and silver with you? He goes, say I do. Then you call me and I tell you where to go, liquidate it immediately then and there. You know how many times I started talking about 401ks and IRAs. You know how many times we watch people saying, well, I'm going to get my distribution out. And so I'm calling today. And literally 6 weeks later, they're like, I finally got the check. Man, that was terrible. Well, what do? You say, I want to sell this fund or that fund, or I want to take a distribution of my 401k. Who chooses when it sells? They do. There's so many games, and I was in that world. and they wait, and it's like, well, when I tried to sell, the stock was 53, but by the time they finally liquidated, it had gone down to 41. I just had this happen with a guy with a lot of money. He had no control over it, and it took forever. The other thing is there's rollovers and rollouts, and this applies to 502s, 503s, 504s, 523Bs, everything, the government stuff. It doesn't matter. It's ultimately your money. The next thing to watch out for, please, again, do not buy an annuity. Avoid annuities. Metals I believe in wholly, not because I'm selling them, because it's liquid hard cash. It's God's money. As we move forward, we're going into hyperinflation. Nobody knows what's going on. Everyone's staring into the headlights. It's hard to believe. It's too overwhelming for them to look and really comprehend the destruction that Biden's bringing upon us. We have such a great nation overall. And Trump did such a good job economically. That man fought hard. There's so many forces tearing this nation apart. And he fought against that. And he took more heat than, as I've said, than any man I think ever that lived. And like I said, Jesus probably obviously got beat worse. But no man's ever been persecuted publicly like Trump. Yet he held the course. He stayed the course. He had a goal. He was a brilliant man. Everyone who worked around him, and I've met many people that have been hand in hand in the Oval Office, Kayleigh McEnany, Ben Carson, I've got other friends that have been in there too. And Trump can never have enough information. He makes very radical or radical, very logical decisions, and he asks questions of people, and he seeks wise counsel, as the Bible said. Now, he came to Christ after he became president. But he had wisdom. You don't have to know Jesus Christ to have wisdom. That was the point of Proverbs. Solomon was writing Proverbs to his son, who was as far from walking with God as possible. People were coming from other nations to get Solomon's wisdom. They say he had over 4,000 Proverbs memorized. And that might sound easy. The kicker is he made them all up himself. Can you imagine? Every proverb is like four stanzas. It's like four little sentences-ish. Can you imagine having 4,000 of those that you made yourself, created yourself, having them memorized? I can't. It's insane. And he was so wise. And his son was so foolish, Rehoboam. And he was headed for destruction. And he ultimately was killed by his own people, just drug off his horse and beat to death, and no one did a thing because he was not a good man. But that Solomon was still trying to impart wisdom onto him, knowing that wisdom would lead you to God. Just because Solomon fell flat on his face, who knows? But just because he fell flat on his face does not mean that he didn't know God. He was just given the ultimate level of power, control, and temptation. His gardens were one of the seven wonders of the world at that time. I mean, you can have wisdom without knowing Christ. If you have Christ and the Holy Spirit, there's a whole different level of wisdom. It's a different deal for positive, but you just got to realize that. Seeking wise counsel, I've had people say, well, I just want to get advice from Christians. Well, if the decision is a spiritually moral one, then yeah, good choice. But even so, you have nothing to lose by getting advice from people. You don't have to follow it. You got to be able to balance it. A lot of people can't stand the the process of receiving all this information. They may be defensive or uncomfortable, whatever. But you can get all the advice you want. I mean, you got to be careful what you disclose to who about your own life, but never stop gaining wisdom and knowledge. There's nothing wrong with that. The minute someone goes off on the wrong tangent, chuck it out. I mean, if it's really that bad, you know, but still, what do you got to lose? What do you got to gain? That's a question to always ask yourself with every major decision that you're ever going to make in your life. is what do I got to lose? What do I got to gain? And is it moral and ethical, right? So I think what's really the most important for this show, True Wealth, is our runaway inflation. Our debt is out of control. Our deficit is out of control. Our M1 money supply is ridiculous. I can't believe it's at almost four and a half times. M1 money is liquid cash that sits in checking, savings, money market accounts that people can access momentarily. It's gone from 4.5 to $20.1 trillion. Beyond absurd. I mean, it doesn't even make sense when you look at the deficit at $32 trillion. There's so many different ways to calculate it, but there's one way in general that the government uses on the Consumer Price Index, and that is supposedly to track the value of goods and their increase in value. They are currently saying that inflation's about 8.9%. I've always said double that. That's extreme if you think about it. Why? Because Clinton removed food, transportation, real estate, and energy costs from the equation. You understand I've discussed this. Food, all you got to do, they say now, well, food's gone up like 10.1% per year for the last 3 years. You know, I'm not sure what they're tracking, but it's sure gone up more than that. For Father's Day, we had filet mignon and crab legs, yum, yum, from Costco. They're like double what they used to be. Well, Costco has about an 11% net margin on their, or net profit on their sales. So they're passing on their actual cost in a big way. So it's not as if they're just, I mean, there are places that are price gouging and capitalizing, but those kinds of organizations, they're small. They're not typically, other than pharmaceutical companies, which are just great big legalized drug cartel that pump you full of poison, but typically these companies are reacting and responding. So when you look at food, I mean, all the major staples we used to believe in, the RDA and all that, they're just up, up, up. If you say 10.1%, 10% a year, you got 10% 1 year. You keep compounding, of course, but still, it's way worse than that. If you say 10% a year for 3 years, say you start with a basis of $100. Say a grocery cart was $100. Year one, 10%. That takes it to 110, right? Year two, 10% of that takes you to 121, right? Year three, at a 10% increase, takes you to about 133 or something like that. So it's technically 10% compounded is about a 33% increase in 3 years. That's not accurate. It's up 100%. Okay, so they're challenging that. I don't even know what they use. So anyway, your food, your cost of living, 85% of your disposable income expenditures were removed by the Clinton dynasty. Food, transportation's out of control. We'll talk about that. Real estate, energy costs. Energy and transportation, we can almost tie together right now. First of all, unless you've been under the ground, you know that real estate's doubled. Bozeman, Montana. The median home value in Bozeman, Montana is now $869,000. That's median, and that doesn't get you jack squat. The national median on home values is like $456,000. And you go back to 1913, and I was looking at all this stuff today, trying to figure out some stuff to talk about, and it's a little bit much. But I'm telling you, folks, the home value back in 13 was at most $1,100. And now you're at $456,000 or whatever. We have a problem. Before COVID, the average home, median home price in Spokane was like about $304,000. And now we're up to that $456,000. So that's a 50% increase in home values, of median home values. But the problem is the calculations are a year old by the time they come out. And they also include people that locked in their home construction price when COVID started, and it took a year because of supplies and merchandising and marketing and all that. So, I mean, really, realistically, it's 100% increase. Transportation is a mess. You got Biden coming out saying he's going to do this and that with, gas tax, 18 cents a gallon. And it's weird because there's, you know, there's tapes and videos of Obama mocking the conservatives for trying to do something much better. It's hypocrisy at its finest. But if you really even reduce the price of a gallon of gas, if it's $6 and you're reducing it 18 cents, that's 3%. And then the Bidens and the Obamas have said, and Clintons, especially Obama, said, we have to find a way to get gas prices up to the level it is in Europe so people will demand an alternative fuel source. Do you know, with all this electric push for cars, first of all, we're looking at 6 to 8 promised rate increases from the Fed between now and the end of 23. But did you know that 88% of all the electricity produced comes from fuel? You want to go charge at a Tesla station? Tesla cars, electric? They use diesel fuel to create the electrical charging stations. Double down. So here you go. You're burning fuel that they hate so bad because it's so evil. And then you're also now consuming electricity. So you're doubling down. And there is also what's called, entropy applies to energy. Anytime you burn any fuel source, you lose energy. You don't get 100%. Otherwise, we'd have perpetual motion machines and we'd never have to do anything again. You lose energy when you go diesel to electricity. You lose energy when you go from electricity to your vehicle. You lose energy when you drive the vehicle. You're not, every bit of that energy isn't hitting the wheels. It's getting lost in, you know, there's torque loss. There's all kinds of transfer loss. I mean, it's wasting energy. The other problem is, you know, these people I was listening, I was driving and I was listening to this like really liberal, like NPR station just to get sick to my stomach, I guess. And they're like going, well, you know, when, excuse me, sorry. When we travel, we design our trips around charging stations. And then the guy said, we need a place at night where we can charge for 8 hours. 8 hours. 8 hours to charge a vehicle? I mean, I don't know anything about electric vehicles. Not looking forward to find out. I know for a while there's hybrids that would use the momentum of the vehicle and the RPMs or whatever you call it, basically the centrifugal force or whatever, to charge the battery so you were recapturing energy. Great. I mean, that's a cool concept, but having it all dependent. Now, and on top of that, oops, the electric grid's down, right? Oops, EMP, electromagnetic pulse detonation. How about, oops, lightning strike? You can go wherever you want with fuel. You can grab it. You can put a 1,000-gallon tank on your property, whatever you want to do. I'm telling you, folks, electricity is going to get bad news. There's not going to be cash. They're going to try to eliminate it, and they're going to be able to track you, follow you. It's going to get ugly. You got an unpaid ticket you forgot about. Boom, shut down. All of a sudden, you're going, what's the matter? My credit card won't work. Call the company. Well, yes, sir. That was shut down by the state of blah, blah, because you have an unpaid warrant or ticket. Or we just don't like your political views. We don't like the things you've been saying on the radio or whatever. You become beholden to the establishment. They want this so bad. It's the green cult. What are they? The Green New Deal. The Green New Deal. And you have, what's her name? AOC. I can't even believe I waste my breath talking about her. She's the most naive person I've ever seen. And she's we needed $77 trillion for the Green New Deal. $77 trillion. She even know what that is? I'm going to go with not. What 77 trillion is the end of America in fiat currency and debt, okay? So you got food, transportation, real estate, I've covered. And then I touched on energy costs. It doesn't matter. Things are tough, so why am I talking about this? Metals. Well, Kevin, you know, metals haven't gone up and as much as I want, and they never go up as much as we want. Sometimes they really rally, and you're like, go, baby, go, baby, go, and then all of a sudden you're like, that's too much too fast. Get ready for a little a valve blow-off, as they call it in the compression motor industry. But you have the ability to control your wealth in a biblical way. Once you own metals, you're free and clear. You are off the grid, and you need to be. You need to be off the grid wholeheartedly. You really do. I mean, our country has no right to control you in any way. Our government was designed to operate as close to anarchy as possible, the thinnest line imaginable. So what changed? Why do people hate capitalism? Because of corporate greed. Corporations have done bad things. Why? Money. The overflow, overaccumulation of wealth. Nobody studies this, but it is the creation of the corporation that has given these companies the ability to master the art of controlling the world. I mean, how much pull do you think Google has? Holy moly, they control all the information and they're worth trillions. They're destructive. I can't believe I look up anything online. Everything's all pre-cooked, pre-written. Everyone, you know, Google knows everything. They make you think Google knows everything. Google's so smart. And people are like, well, don't use Google, use DuckDuckGo. DuckDuckGo just protects your IP address. That's it, supposedly. I've been told by those in the know that that isn't even true if they want it. It's funny, the people who are probably the least significant are the most concerned about being watched and tracked by the government. Some of the people we deal with that are so profound don't concern themselves too much. I highly recommend getting off the grid. 401ks and IRAs, you have two choices, roll over, roll out. Sounds like commands you'd give a dog. But a rollover is where you take the metal. So you're with an organization that's Series 6 and 7 licensed, which means they sell stocks, bonds, basically equities, mutual funds, things like that. And if you roll over, you go from one 401k organization where they give you 7 options of how to invest to another company where you manage it independently. You own the metals. However, there's two forks in that road. Fork one, you have your metal stored in an offsite location, and I mean offsite. It could be Texas or Delaware or whatever, which isn't, to me, the purpose of owning metals. The other option is you can try to self-manage it, and there's a guy, I think it's Larry Shepard or something like that online, that shows people. It's called Checkbook IRA or something like that. You can check it out. He charges a chunk for the advice and the paperwork, but we have some customers that have enough money that it doesn't matter. But so you can self-manage it. I've seen people do it now multiple times. They keep it in our depository service and they just get a yearly spreadsheet on the value. It has not caused them any problems, but they did get the appropriate paperwork and fill it out. Your alternative option is a rollout. So here's the deal. You're taking, say, 6 to 10% of your income or whatever it is, and you're pre-tax investing it with a tax deferral agreement, hypothetically, with your government, stating you're going to pay that tax someday, somewhere, somehow. And if you die, they come hard. It's really ugly to watch the states. I've been doing money long enough. I've watched people's lives devastated. You know, dad owns a big business, or, you know, there was this huge plumbing wholesaler a while ago. It was a wonderful business. The family was doing very well, and he died. And he didn't have it set up to roll onto the next properly, I guess. You know, it wasn't in a living trust, which is another absolute financial balloon. It's all come and due. The only thing a living trust does is it creates a living entity rather than individuals. So it says this trust is a live entity. And so as you pull it out, you pay tax, you pay tax, you pay tax forever. It's always come and due. You got to understand that. 401ks and IRAs, back in the 90s, when corporations were swimming in money, we had some incredible, I mean, part of the reason I'm here today is because of my banking stock options and thrift and profit sharing programs, because they handed money out left and right. Those were the good old days, as they say. Those days, my friends, are gone. I'm sorry. Companies in general will pay up to a maximum of 25% of your proceeds, of your contribution. I was just reading a thing, it's been a while, but they were saying like companies are doing one, so you can go up to 6% in a 401k of your base income. And in order, if you do six, the employer will match it up to whatever it is. It depends. They said the average now is 1.33%. So if you're making $65,000 a year, your company is giving you $100 a year. Why is that worth procrastinating your tax? Get your money, pay your tax, buy the metals, own them, hold them, keep them. They're anonymous, transportable, immediately liquid, transferable, recognizable anywhere in the world. They're yours. You're off the grid. They multiply by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. That's yours. There's such a thin line of 1099 issuance, or just, you know, that we're required to do. There's the 99.2% of everything people invest in here is 1099 or non-reportable. We'll say that's by nature. And then there are other ways to take dispersals without reporting based on a time frame. You might have to take, you know, do things over time. I don't want to teach people how to structure to avoid taxes. That's not my goal at all. Jesus said, pay your taxes. But I say, own your own financial well-being, please. I highly encourage it. You know, we offer that to people all day long. But you're dealing with the longest, most pinnacle form of real money or true wealth throughout written human history. God made it. He said it. It's good. I'm telling you. Gold, silver, we've got inventory like no one else does. We're fair. We're honest. We guarantee the fairest, you know, we're nationally fair, okay? We know what's going on out there. We're always going to be just a little bit better than the other guys, than all the legitimate players. There's always these, like I say, you know, little tiny fly-by-night outfits. If you want to check, you might get a 10th ounce and a quarter ounce gold coin when you get lucky, a little bit cheaper. But why deal with someone like that anyway? Why not deal with someone that's, you know, high volume, low margin, consistent? You know exactly what you're going to get. They stand, that's us. We stand behind our product 100%. You don't have to worry about a thing. And we offer complete liquidity at any time. We're well capitalized as well. Praise God, right? So do yourself a favor right now. I mean, if you've procrastinated, put it off. I would say if you do what I've done, get out of the 401k cycle. Taxes are going up. Biden hasn't even gotten to work yet. Midterm election, they're going to lose by a landslide, and Biden's still going to push through some tax bill that's ugly. I guarantee you. He is out to lunch. You probably saw him fall off his bike the other day. I mean, he's just absolutely in loopy la-la land. And he is the most powerful man on planet Earth. You got Saudi Arabian crown prince or king running around doing this, doing that. You got Putin trying to take over land. You got China taking a look at a bunch of things. China, Biden wouldn't know how to execute a war if he had to. I mean, I'm sorry to say that. It's scary. I feel like we're holding our breath underwater for a period of time here. The other thing, too, is if you want to go online and give us 3-5 stars, you know, like whatever, Google, Yelp, Yahoo, and what, or Facebook, whatever, just do it. We'll verify it, and we'll give you 2 silver dollars, decent, nice silver dollars. That is the best deal going out there. It's free money. But when you do, please describe. Say, oh, I went into Coins Plus, and this is what I experienced. Explain it. Don't just say, they're really nice people, and I really like them a lot. I want to, you know, like that. So, anyway, we're there. Again, our phone number is 509-444-0044. Toll free if you're on a landline, 877-827-COIN. Or it's 877, okay, it's 877-827-2646. Or 877-TAP-COIN, like T-A-P coin, C-O-I-N. Don't mistake the zero for the O. The O is on a different button than the zero. Give us a call. We will take care of you. I highly recommend it. Thank you. Take care. God bless. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.